Alrighty, so this morning I want to start off by asking you guys a question. Has anyone ever felt unworthy or maybe inadequate for a particular job or task? Am I the only one? No? Me? Everyone? Okay, cool. I think we've all kind of been there, right? Whether it's, you know, a job at work, maybe it's, you know, being a spouse, being a mother, you know, maybe even your service to the Lord. I know I, for one, have felt this way countless times. You know, I'm up here pretty regularly leading worship, and I could tell you countless times where I come to the Lord and I'm just asking, Lord, why would you have someone like me? I am not worthy to sing your praise, let alone bring your people into worship. I especially felt this way this morning because I am not worthy to be bringing his word. But here I am. And you know, even in the next season of life that I am about to embark in, motherhood, I could tell you I feel this way all the more, feeling, oh my gosh, Lord, how can you bless me with one of your children? Yes, I'm going to be the mother, my husband's going to be the father, but Lord, this is your child that I'm carrying. Are you sure? Are you positive that you want me to be the mother, right? And I'm sure we've all asked this question. And perhaps maybe you even feel that way this morning for something. Well, I would like to encourage you guys this morning, because the truth is, God actually wants to use and desires to use sinful and unworthy people like you and I. I know it sounds crazy when we think about it, because if I were God, I wouldn't want to use me, right? But I'd like to show you, just like us, how God wants to use us, sinful people. And we're going to be doing this by looking at a particular man named Isaiah in the Old Testament. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. If you are taking notes, I have a little title for our study this morning. And simply it is, Here Am I. Now, Isaiah, the man that we're going to look at today, was a prophet of the Lord. He was a prophet in the time where the nation of Israel was split into two, the northern and the southern tribes. This was long after the time that we studied here in study with King Saul and King David. This is more than 250 years afterwards. The nation of Israel was in a state of spiritual decay. There were some good points in their history, but for the most part, Israel was not being the nation that God wanted it to be. This is why we'll see at the end of our passage today a verdict that the Lord is going to place on Israel, a message that Isaiah himself is going to have to share. So, with this in mind, let me give you a simple outline and then we'll jump into our text. I want to split this portion of scripture up in four sections. I like to imagine kind of what's going on. So I'm gonna split it up into four scenes, like movie scenes. The first is going to be the vision, the second, the view, the third, the voice, and last and fourthly, the verdict. Let's take a look at the very first scene, which is entitled The Vision, here in verse 1 through 4. And it states, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. King Uzziah here was one of the few good kings Israel had. If you know anything about Israel's history, good kings were very, very hard to come by. And Uzziah was one of the few good ones. Although, at the end of his life, did need to be disciplined by the Lord. And in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw a vision. And what an amazing vision he saw. Isaiah saw the vision of the throne room, and not just any throne room, it was a throne room of the Lord God. Here he sees the Lord in all of his glory and all of his majesty, and gets to see a holy and awesome God before his very eyes. You know, just imagine what that would be like, being in the throne room, being in the presence of God, getting to see him high and lifted up on the throne, seeing the angels bow down in reverence to him, singing and shouting, even just feeling the very trembling of their voices in the room. You know, one would think that you couldn't be anything but overcome with joy and even happiness at the sight of it all, right? But the truth is, that's not exactly what Isaiah felt. Notice with me his response, the view that he had not on the Lord, but on himself, as we look at our next scene called The View. Let's pick it back up in verse 5, where it says, "So I, Isaiah, said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sins purged.'" The view Isaiah had of himself was that of a wretched, wretched sinner. He cries, "Woe is me." This is a cry of grief and despair. He is completely and totally undone when he realizes his filthiness as a sinner in the sight of a holy and perfect God, which, by the way, ladies, is exactly what we are. We're sinful, we are filthy, we are wretched in the sight of a God that is perfect. So one wonders then how it is Isaiah or even us can be used by God, right? And the answer, I believe, is right here in verses 6-7, where we see Isaiah, where his sin is purged, completely covered, literally atoned for. Isaiah has been forgiven. But why? Why is it that he was forgiven? It's not because he was anything special. It's not because he was super talented, right? No, simply put, it's because of the wonderful and amazing grace of our Heavenly Father. That's why he was forgiven. And ladies, that is why we have been forgiven. Only because of God's grace. So, Isaiah, having been forgiven and having his sins cleansed, he then hears a voice, which brings us to our third scene, the voice, and we see it in verse 8, where it says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" The voice that Isaiah hears is the very voice of the Lord. Wouldn't that be just an amazing thing just to hear audibly God's voice? And you know, it's interesting, what Isaiah hears is a question. The Lord wants to know, who will go for us? More than likely talking about him and his angels. What the Lord is seeking here is a servant. He's seeking a messenger, someone who is willing to go for him. God wants to know who is willing to be used for his plan and his purpose. And so upon hearing this, Isaiah immediately replies, saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me." You see, Isaiah realized his unworthiness and his sinfulness, yet he also knew that he had been forgiven of it. And with no doubt a grateful heart, he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Now, there's something that I simply cannot pass up explaining to you, ladies. The word that Isaiah uses here in the Hebrew, which we have here that says, "Here I am," or "Here am I," is the word hineni that they use in the Hebrew. And this word gives the idea of total readiness to give oneself, to offer complete availability to a task. This is total willingness regardless of how trying a mission may be or how hard a task may be. Isaiah didn't know the task that he was going to be volunteering for, yet he volunteered without hesitation. Which brings us to our last scene, where we will see the task and the message that Isaiah was going to have to give, where he was going to have to pronounce judgment on the nation of Israel. So let's look at the verdict, verses 9 through 13. And it says, "And he said, 'Go and tell the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed.' Then I said, 'How long, Lord?' And he answered, 'Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitants. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming. As a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump.'" You know, the nation of Israel had been rebellious for a very, very long time. And God had given them opportunity after opportunity to make things right with the Lord. But they continued in their rebellion and sin. And so God told Isaiah to give the people his verdict. Isaiah would have to preach a message of judgment, and he would have to preach it for a very, very long time to come. There would, of course, be a remnant, which is the idea here in verse 13, but for the most part, it wasn't going to be pretty for God's chosen people as soon as the nation of Assyria and Babylon would take Israel and Judah away. It would be a sad and tragic message for the prophet to have to preach. So, this leaves us with the question, what does this mean for us here in March 14th, 2024? What are some lessons that we could take away from this passage? And let me suggest to you three. Three lessons in which we could take away from the calling of Isaiah by God. The first being, God wants to use you. He wants to use each and every one of you. And you might think, there's no way. Of course Isaiah is going to be picked. Of course, because he's in the Bible already. Of course the Lord's going to use him. But it's not just Isaiah. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So it's not just Isaiah. God wants to use you. And he wants to use you even though you're sinful. You know, we see at the beginning of this passage that Isaiah realizes his sinfulness, realizes how unworthy he is. All because he saw the vision of a holy and perfect God. We too know that we are sinful, especially in the sight of God. And I could attest that the more I uncover or the more I study of who God is and just skim the surface of God's character, the more I realize of myself how wretched I truly am. And yet, even in light of that, God still wants to use us. Don't be mistaken, and don't let the devil deceive you in thinking that he doesn't want to use you, because God has a plan for each and every one of you. He also wants to use you even though you're unworthy. Some might think, well, Isaiah's a Bible character, right? He seems like a pretty stand-up guy, at least from what we've read, right? Of course God would use him. But not so. You see, the truth is Isaiah wasn't worthy to be used by God at all. He didn't do anything to earn this favor. He didn't have any special skill sets or anything. Quite the contrary. He was an unworthy sinner, yet still used by God. And the same is true with us. We are not worthy to be used by God. We're not good enough. We're not special in any kind of way. Yet he wants to use us. He even wants to use us even though we are not his best option. If you guys notice, there are kind of three main characters in this text. We have the Lord God himself, we have Isaiah, and we have the angels. And you know, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that the angels would be way better suited for a task like this, right? They'd be way more qualified. They're already obedient to the Lord and everything that he asks of them, right? Definitely more worthy than Isaiah to go, than for Isaiah to go for the Lord. But the reality is God wanted to use Isaiah and use him as a vessel, as God's messenger. And in the same way, ladies, God wants to use you. Could he use angels? Sure. Would they be the better option? Absolutely, 100%. But he desires to use us. And what an amazing truth and privilege that is. The second lesson we learn is God wants you to be willing. In verse 8, God asks a question. Who will go for us? The Lord is seeking a willing servant. And because Isaiah knew he had been forgiven and he was grateful, he replied with Hanani. He was willing and ready to do whatever God asked of him. He was a vessel ready for his master's use. And ladies, this is how God desires us to be. He desires us to say, "Here am I, Lord, Hanani, ready and willing for his use and purpose." And you'll notice that Isaiah volunteered without two things. First, without hesitation. Isaiah replied without knowing any of the details. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm asked to do something or whenever I'm asked to go somewhere, I want to know the details, right? I want to know who's going, how many people are going to be there, what time do we have to be there, do I have to bring a change of clothes when you're packing for a trip especially, right? What's the weather going to be like? We as women need details, right? But not Isaiah. He said Hanani without knowing anything of the tasks that would be of him. Without knowing how scary or how long, Isaiah was completely and totally available for whatever the Lord would lead him to. I know it's one thing to read about someone in the scripture where we're able to see everything laid out, right? We see the beginning and the end. But it's hard for us to do it ourselves. Because the reality, like I said, as women, it's hard, especially for those of us who like to plan. We like to know every little detail before committing to anything. But God wants us to be willing to trust him in those times when he doesn't give us the full picture. He wants us to say, Hanani. He wants us to say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Lastly, we see that God wants to use you, and he wants you to be faithful in doing so. After God told Isaiah of the judgment that was to come, I'm sure it was hard for Isaiah to be the bearer of bad news. I know I hate being put in that position to have to be the messenger with the bad story or the bad outcome, right? But if you continue the rest of the book of Isaiah, you see that Isaiah was faithful to the call that God gave him. Even though it was challenging, and even though many did not heed the words of Isaiah, Isaiah was still faithful. So, a good question is, are we? Are we faithful? No matter the trials, no matter the hardship, no matter the pain, we too should be faithful to what God has called us to do, whatever it may be. You know, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a new ministry, or maybe it's getting just involved in ministry. Maybe it's motherhood like me. Maybe a combination of all of the above. Maybe it's stepping out and evangelizing and being willing to talk to people about the love of Christ. Or maybe it's just simply using the gifts and the abilities that God has given you. Whatever it may be, know that God has a calling for you. He has a plan and a purpose. So, my question to you in closing is simple. Will you say Hanani? Will you say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? Will you ladies pray with me?